Let's now say hello to Terry Savage in the business of other businesses. Hi, Terry. How are you?
That's like people blaming the broker when they told the broker what to do, and the stock goes down.
By the way, Terry, the stock market is up today.
Yes, it is. It's waiting for the Fed. It's we're really close to our all-time highs within 2,000 points. So what's going on today is everybody is just sort of on hold. We've had a couple of IPOs that have gone well, and basically everybody's waiting to see what happens just less than an hour from now. There is virtually no chance that they will raise interest rates. That's not the issue. The question is what happens when they talk about their economic forecast, which they do at this meeting, and what will they say about the future? Is November a possible increase? What could happen next year? People, they're already looking forward to what the Fed might do next year. But if the Fed doesn't raise rates, which everybody, the futures markets say it won't raise rates, it will give the stock market a little sigh of relief. Right now, it's hard to compete with getting 5.5% in T-bills and being in stocks and taking risk. So we'll see.
So knowing that, the Fed, what, wants to help the equity side? They want to help the market?
No. They never say that. The real issue is, what's going to happen next in the economy? If you just drew the scales of justice, those two little platforms, and you piled stuff on the inflation side, we're seeing oil over $90 a barrel. By the way, we noticed today gold was up pretty dramatically. What's that trying to say to us? The deflation, or we fixed inflation side of the scale, says, hey, consumer spending might be topping out. Consumers are buried in debt. That could slow consumer spending down. The strike could possibly knock some, if it goes on for a long time, the auto strike, not the writer's strike, but that too could knock some growth off the economy. And, maybe we've got things slowing down just enough and we don't have to raise rates. But on the other hand, what if that strike is settled with a huge wage increase? Flip that thing over to the other side of the scale. Wait a minute. Wages rising, energy rising. Fed's got to be very nimble here, and that's what's in the balance. And they don't know any more than you or I do, but these are the things that are happening every day.
This situation with UAW and the automakers is on the Fed's mind, you think, that specific issue?
Oh, absolutely, because they know that it's on the politicians' minds, everything else. They know that if the strike does go on, it could knock some points off growth, GDP, you'll have rising unemployment, you'll have, it's not just the auto workers themselves, the ones that get put out, it's not just the striking workers, because the manufacturers will close down other plants if they can't consolidate and get orders going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the spiral effect on the suppliers and jobs there could be huge.
And that would motivate the Fed to do what then? Not raise rates any further.
Exactly. In November. So let's just see how this plays out. I mean, if it's 5 days, 8 days, 12 days, then maybe there's, it's just a teeny blip. But if this goes on, it will definitely impact the economy. The writer's strike is impacting an interesting segment, all of us who are waiting for favorite shows to come back and things like that.
Yeah.
Certain advertising, but it doesn't have that same devastating impact on the entire economy that an auto worker's extensive strike would. If the Fed chairman says anything really outrageous or interesting, I'll be sitting here watching it. Call me and I'll give you a Fed comment on the Fed head. But no more Fed
for
the rest of this. Okay?
I don't mind. I mean, that sounds a little wonkish, but it's not. I think we've all kind of got an education about how important this is. And anybody who's run into interest rates trying to buy a car or a house or invest and they love their 5%, I think we all appreciate how important this is.
And how about you forgot one, and I just finished. I've been trying to answer and catch up with a lot of questions. A woman wrote about her daughter's credit card debt, which came from a job loss earlier that she's been carrying. Her rate is 28%. 28%, that was, in the olden days, that was like the mob that broke your knees or whatever it was to get you to pay the interest. It was never even that high. This is, you know, you cannot limit interest rates on credit cards because that would price credit artificially low. But this is insane for anybody to be carrying credit card debt right now. Yes, I know. And I just wrote a column that'll go up soon. The fastest growing a number of people with huge credit card debt are seniors because they live on fixed incomes, can't easily add more income, and price of everything's going up. So there's a reckoning to come here, and credit card debt is empowered by the Fed saying, yeah, we're raising rates.
If they don't raise rates, you say they're probably not. And if they throw off signals like this might be it for a while, do you see consumers feeling it either on their credit cards? Will home mortgage rates go down? How will we feel that in terms of the credit that we're paying for?
I don't think anything is going down because the Fed doesn't raise rates again. Okay, if they don't raise rates today, I don't see anything going down. The 30-year mortgage is based on the 10-year Treasury note, which is at about all-time modern highs since the 80s. So I don't see any rates going down quickly.
Here's some questions for you, Terry. Hey, Terry Savage, I've got $2,000 in my 16-year-old UTMA, U-T-M-A, at 0.5% interest. Can I take that and put it in a Treasury note?
Well, first of all, did it say a 16-year-old child?
In my 16-year-old UTMA.
I think that refers to the child's age. That means that child will be applying for college in a year or two, and you were saving money, and that money in a custodial account, UTMA, Uniform Trust to Minors Act, that money will weigh very heavily against your family in the financial aid formula. So I would suggest maybe right now moving that into a 529 college savings account. That'll be far enough ahead of the application for financial aid. And 529 money doesn't count nearly as heavily against you in the aid formula. And inside that 529 plan, you can go to Illinois Bright Start. Assume, you know, we know people listen from Wisconsin and Indiana and all over here, but probably from Illinois. Brightstart.com is the Illinois 529 plan. It does a very good job, highly rated. So instead of trying to find another UTMA account or a higher pay yielding way to put the money, I'd suggest rolling it into a 529 plan now.
John, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. What can we do for you?
Terry, I'm trying to find out. I got a lot of money in a couple of IRAs. And anyway, some of it is just sitting in some stocks that I can move. But I've heard twice in the last week that if you invest in mutual funds right now, leave them alone for 7 years, the money will double. Do you agree with that?
Only if the market returns its historic 10% a year. And so far, by the way, this year, I'm just looking at the charts up when I was answering a question. The year-to-date return on the S&P 500 is 15.74%. Of course, that mostly came in five major tech stocks, but if you had the S&P 500 index, you're above that average level. Let me tell you how they derived that double, and that's certainly not a guarantee. It's called the rule of 72. Divide any number into 72, and it will tell you how long it takes for the number to double, or in the case of inflation, for your spending power to be cut in half. So if you divide 7 into 72, the answer is 10. If you get 10% a year, divide that into 72. In 7 years, your money will double. Historically, over the long run, the long, long, long run, the historic average return of the S&P 500 is about 10% if you include dividends. But we've had some years of above average returns.
Yep.
And in the next 7 years, you might have some below average returns. So I always suggest having a 20-year time horizon, at least when you're thinking about what could my returns be, because historically there's never been a 20-year period when you lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks with dividends reinvested, even adjusted for inflation.
That sounds ambitious,
but if someone's
though,
selling
it?
You something,
yeah,
and telling you roll it over because it'll double your money in 7 years, that's
right.
Never a guarantee. That person should be reported to the
somebody or another.
FINRA.
I asked my advisor about just investing in an S&P index, and he was not for that. He was
why not?
Why not? Because he'll make a fee on individual trades, right?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. It depends on whether your advisor is a broker or a registered investment advisor who is a fiduciary. Brokers make money. I was one when I started out a million years ago. They make money on commissions when you buy and sell. If you wanted to just invest in the S&P 500, you could take your money and go to Fidelity or Vanguard. There's an S&P 500 index, and you could do that, and you would have no management fees. I mean, to speak of, a few basis points, I think 12 basis points is the cost of investing in one of those funds. Now, if your advisor is a fiduciary, fee-only investment advisor who charges you a fee every year to sit down with you once or twice a year and say, you're doing well, you might want to be a little more conservative, let's talk about your mortgage, did you follow up and make that new estate plan? That kind of advisor would be thrilled to have you in an S&P 500 index fund for a portion of your money.
Terry Savage joins us on Wednesdays at this time. Half hour from now, we'll know what the Fed said about interest rates. Terry said it's a lock. They're not going to raise them. But more important is, what are they going to say about them after that? So stay tuned.
And I didn't say, I mean, I repeated that, but the market said that. There's a tool called FedWatch at CME where market participants actually get to vote with their money about what they think the Fed will do. So I'm just reporting what the markets are telling you.
You ready for more calls, Terry? All right, here we go. This is Teresa now. You're on WGN with Terry. Teresa, how can we help?
Hi. Could you hear me okay?
We hear you fine.
Okay. I'm 63 years old. I was a federal employee my whole life. So I didn't put any money into Social Security. I have a good pension. I'm a widow. Because of my pension, I did not qualify for my husband's Social Security. I'm 63, and I have $150,000 in an IRA, which I'm trying to move like $15,000 at a time into a Roth. Right now, I'm having issues. My house, it was like $3,800 for the pipe, just maintenance for the house. And I have like a budget where I do a yearly budget, and I put aside like the big expenses like insurance for the following year. I divide it by 12, that's how much I put aside. But now I don't know what to do with these extra expenses. I don't want to put it on my credit card.
Wait a minute. So you've got some expenses, and you're wondering where to get the cash to take care of them, right?
Yes. I don't know if is it better to take a home equity or to move some money from my IRA to the Roth, and then take the money out of there.
Okay.
I would need is maybe $10,000.
All right, hold on.
Well, first of all, you don't need to move it into a Roth because you'll have to keep it there for 5 years before you can take it out. You might have to make a withdrawal from your IRA. And don't forget, there's no penalty now because you're over 59 and a half. You'll lose the money growing in the future. But if you have to take it out, you have to take out enough so you have extra money to pay the taxes. And that would be the suggestion. I'm going to throw something up in the air and you're going to go, oh, no. But you have some flexibility right now. I don't know how long you've been living there alone. But at some point, there will be unexpected expenses, whether it's higher property taxes, and there's some programs for seniors, or whether it's repairs. This would be a good time at least to start thinking about, is this where I'm going to live for the next 25, 30 years? Because that's how long you could be living. Do I want to move to a senior community where I will never have this kind of unexpected expense, where I could take the money from the house and put it in treasury bills and earn 5% or 5.5% right now? So, yeah, Teresa, the first thing is, yes, you'll probably have to take the money out of your IRA. You'll have to pay ordinary income taxes on it. If you have an accountant check to make sure it doesn't move you into a higher tax bracket, you probably won't get a home equity loan, primarily because you have no income. You're living on a pension. This is a bad idea. And you're right, definitely don't put it on your credit card. But this is like a bell ringing. Will you think about that? What's this house going to need? Do I want to be here alone? not now, but 10 years, 15 years from now?
Yes, and that's kind of where my head is going right now. It's like, this is just one thing. Maybe a furnace will go out. Where am I going to get the money for that? You know, I'm trying to find out the best way. Right now, my husband passed away of cancer, so we basically have the house ADA already, walk-in showers and things like that. And the area I live, to get like a townhouse or senior living, is a lot more expensive. I owe $38,000 on the house, and I think that's what stumbles me. Do I want to move?
But if I may, the kind of expenses you're talking about, like a new furnace, even a roof, those are the sorts of things, it seems to me, you've been so careful that you could afford until maybe you make your last move. These may be troubling, but it sounds to me like you have the resources to handle the sorts of things any homeowner has to handle. Teresa?
Well, let me back up. Let me interject, because I really want to follow up here. Teresa, you get a pension.
Correct.
I'm going to say something. You're only 63. I think that's young, relatively, compared to how long you probably will live. I'm knocking on some wood here. I'm going to give you one other suggestion.
Okay.
What could you do with all the skills you had as a federal employee? What could you do to go back to work part-time?
I knew she was going to say this. She's sending you back to work,
well,
Teresa.
Actually, I did just start a part-time job at a library part-time, $16.50 an hour.
Okay, wait, hold on. Why are you asking that, Terry? Why do you want her to go back to work?
Because it's fun. Okay? I'm glad you started a part-time job. Every little bit of income is less that you have to take out of retirement and longer for your retirement to grow. And, you know, I think you've got it. I think you absolutely have it. The immediate question is, the place to get it, yes, sadly, is from your IRA. The second question is, what can you do so that you can continue to work, to live the way you want to do it? If you want to stay in the home, I get it. Just remember, though, it's ADA compliant, but it's not ADA compliant to the extent that if you ever needed ADA, you wouldn't need somebody to live there with you. And there's another opportunity. I'm just being creative now. There are plenty of women, particularly maybe some in your church group, who would pay you some rent, assuming there's an extra room in your house. They're not asking you to be a nurse to them. But the fact is, you might be able to rent out a room to someone that you liked and was your kind of a person and make a little extra money that way each month.
Okay, that's it. Teresa, good luck to you. Thank you for the call. Really interesting conversation. I hope that Terry helped. We get you more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A new report puts Illinois in the top 10 states for clean vehicle jobs. The state has the seventh highest number of those jobs, according to a report by Environmental Entrepreneurs, a group tied to the National Resources Defense Council. The report says clean energy jobs grew 3.6% in the Midwest last year. Clean transportation jobs grew 11.2%. Environmental Entrepreneurs says vehicle production, including hybrids, is the fastest growing segment of clean energy jobs. Illinois, however, does trail its Midwest neighbors. Michigan had the most, followed by Ohio, then Indiana. A new report finds Lollapalooza boosted Chicago's economy by nearly $500 million. The report was commissioned by Lollapalooza's promoter and says the festival generated more than $442 million. That's up from $336 million the year before. Lolla revenues have been climbing since 2019, despite a pause in 2020 because of the pandemic. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business to Food Time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and let's begin with this statement.
Once a corn jerker, always a corn jerker.
She'll explain what that's about after I tell you we are sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. It is truck season. Go ahead and put a new Chevy Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, the woman saying?
Once a corn jerker, always a corn jerker.
Is Mary Lolly.
I'm the Vice President of Store Operations Administration at Tractor Supply Company.
And she's a native of Hoopston, Illinois.
Born and raised.
2 hours hours south of Chicago, probably best known outside the area for its high school mascot, the Corn Jerkers.
Years ago, the name came about as fall training for the football team would go out into the cornfields and pull the corn. Over the years, the name Corn Jerker stuck and became our high school mascot.
Mary's hometown of Hoopston has undergone changes that many farm towns have seen.
When I was growing up in Hoopston, we didn't have to leave town for anything that we needed to live life. And over time, as industry has left town, it's become a little bit difficult there.
And you still have family there?
I do. I still have a lot of cousins and a lot of friends and family in the community.
So how proud do you think Mary is that her company, Tractor Supply, has opened a new store in Hoopston, bringing jobs and shopping?
And interestingly enough, we don't sell tractors.
Oh, what do you sell?
You can think about things in terms of workwear clothing, whether it be weather-related and insulated outerwear, steel-toed boots, regular boots, things like pet food and the nutrition for your livestock and your animals, all kinds of fencing, gates, things to contain your land.
That ought to fit right in farming country.
Yes, we think this is our core customer. We think the products that we sell are perfect for them, and a location like Hoopston is very important to us.
Tractor Supply with a new store in the home of the Corn Jerkers, part of a big expansion by the company. From the farm to your belly, lots going on today. It is Pepperoni Pizza Day. It's National Fried Rice Day. It's National String Cheese Day and National Punch Day.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
TerrySavage.com. Hey, Terry, one of our listeners said they dug themselves into a credit card hole. Should they dip into their 401k? What do you think about that?
Let me say something bigger and broader first. I have a pulse of what's going on out there, primarily through the many questions that get posted on my Ask Terry blog, and even questions. Today we've had a couple of credit card debt questions. All of a sudden, and I've been talking about this for a while, with over $1 trillion on credit card balances now, that doesn't count all those, you know, pay on time kind of plans that were started in the last year and a half, four easy payments kind of things. I'm seeing the swells of consumer anxiety, consumer default rates on delinquency rates, not default, delinquency rates on credit cards are now back to where they were at the end of the last recession in 2010. I can tell that people are in trouble. Now, there's no easy way out. First of all, if you're still working, you can only take a loan from your 401k if your 401k allows it. You can't just take money out because you need it. So check what's available from your 401k. If you leave your job with a loan unpaid, but of course you're losing all future growth on the money you take out. That's pretty obvious. But if you leave your job with the loan unrepaid, then it becomes immediate income to you, taxable, and you'll owe income taxes on that just when you've left your job. So, and maybe you leave your job because you lose it. So the 401k is not your piggy bank really any more than you could call Social Security and say, I've been putting a lot in over these years. I'd like to get an advance. You can't do that. So I don't have a good answer. The always first answer is, and right now it's possible. That's why I'm saying it. We're
call
not
the
recording.
Card company.
No. I'm going to give you, no. The right answer is, how can I earn more money? I'm not giving you this advice in the middle of a recession where unemployment is double digits. Unemployment is relatively low now. Everybody in the family has to A, cut back spending, of course, but B, figure out how to earn more. Now, if you're really, really in trouble, I'm going to give you the toll-free number of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling that will connect you to the nearest local office. It is 800-388-2227. It's up on terrysavage.com all the time, 800-388-2227. This is not credit repair. Give us money every month and we'll hold off paying your credit card bills, and then we'll have enough to negotiate and take our cut. I don't advise that. But the National Foundation for Credit Counseling will, if necessary, contact all your card companies and say they're working with us, giving us one payment a month. We promise we'll distribute it to you. Lower the interest rate. That's a huge help. Re-age the account so it's not so far in arrears. It'll go on your credit report, but it is a way out, and millions of people have taken that way out. 800-388-2227, nonprofit, National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
Terry, what about the caller named Teresa a moment ago who's a widow? She's 63 years old. She only owes $30-some thousand on her house. She's got a nice pension. She's working part-time at the library. Among the texts that have come in about that call, for the caller, Teresa, please, please, please tell her to call David Hochberg. She could take equity out of her house, get an equity line of credit. What do you think about that?
Ask David what he's charging. David's a great guy, and he's got good deals. But that just puts her back in the hot spot to pay more. That's, I mean, yes, of course you can borrow more, and she may be able to get a home equity loan. When I said to her that that would be tough because she's just living on a pension, now she has some income. Let her call David Hochberg.
But if you take money out of your house like that,
Well, no, but what you can do when you're that old, see, a home equity line of credit will either, if you, when you take it down to make these repairs, then it becomes like a home equity loan. It's either an interest-only loan with very low monthly repayments, but in 5 years, it balloons. So you took $20,000 out, and you owe it. You've only been paying the interest.
What about a reverse mortgage, Terry?
That was going to be my second question. We didn't really, it was a long conversation. We didn't have time to say this, but if she really thinks she's going to live there forever, then a reverse mortgage could make sense. There are a lot of fees involved in it, and it involves counseling. Are you really going to live here together forever? I think maybe the idea that she gets someone to pay her $800 a month rent or whatever it is, $1,000 a month rent.
Okay.
It was my most creative idea.
John, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, John. What can we do for you? Let's go to Sarah.
Great answers out of the Social Security.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm 68, will continue working for as long as possible for three reasons. One, it slows the aging process down. It keeps me active, and I like making income. And
me
there's
too,
nothing
John.
Else to do.
What's your
Me
question?
Too.
What's your question?
All right. They're taking money out of my paycheck. My company's taking money out of my paycheck and putting it into the Social Security. Does that raise my Social Security each month, the more money I put into it, or does it keep it longer on it? Because I can't get straight answers from Social Security.
No, you can't get any straight answers from them. The answer is, number one, you please do not take Social Security till you're 70. It's just a couple years away. And after that, you can keep getting your Social Security check. And if you have higher income years, it won't be by month, but higher income years, and it's offsetting lower income years in the most recent years, then it will slightly adjust your Social Security payment higher.
Okay. On that, we're out of time. We've already been out of time, but I'm glad we took the time with Teresa. That was an interesting call. I think I'm hearing from people who can relate, and we'll answer.
There are a lot of people in that position in Chicago, John.
More the
questions.
And
I think you have to get creative. Thank you.
More the questions that were texted in. We'll try and read them to Terry next week.